Our 10-minute speaker is Lauren S. from San Diego.
Whoa, there's a lot of people here. My name's Lauren. I'm an alcoholic. And let's see. So what it was like. I started drinking when I was 13, and I had my first drunk in Mexico. For me, my first drunk was a real preview for what it was going to be like for the rest of my drinking career. I felt free. I felt intoxicated with just, like, you know, this kind of feeling like I was doing something naughty, and it was really thrilling, and I could kind of get away with doing things that I couldn't normally get away with because I think that I felt like I was someone else, you know, like it wasn't really happening or it wasn't really me or something like that. And, you know, and then I woke up the next day and I felt shame and guilt, and I was having to hide what had happened from my mom because I was on a trip with her and some family members. And, you know, and that really did set the tone for what the rest of my drinking career would be. I started to hang out with people who drank. Well, I wouldn't say they drank like me. I would say that they made it feel normal for me to drink the way that I drank. And yeah, I think that I don't really remember a lot of high school drinking. I do know that there was high school drinking because I made an amends to my grandpa recently, and he said to me, you know, in high school, we just kind of thought that was, you know, you being a high schooler, and that you would grow out of that, but we realized when you went off to college, like, this was a serious problem. And I'm kind of like, what the hell happened in high school? Like, I don't remember much, but, I mean, there were some incidents that stand out in my mind. Like, I remember of being a freshman and, like, walking in, and my mom was standing there at the door waiting for me, and I was like, shit. And she's like, you know, you reek of alcohol. And I'm like, well, yeah, like, someone spilled a drink on me. And then I proceeded to throw up on the floor in front of her. So, you know, I remember some things happening like that, but to me, like, it really did seem to me that that's what you did. You know, I was young, and I thought that was just part of that experience is, you know, you drink and you party, and I didn't want to miss out on anything. And I loved drinking. I loved the whole environment. I loved the scene, you know, like, I loved going out and being social, and I just kind of felt like this great happy feeling, and I just always wanted more of that. Like, I never wanted it to end. I just wanted more and more and more, and I did not ever have that thing inside of me that said, like, okay, you know, you're good. Like, you don't need to keep drinking, like, for this to be fun. And so, you know, I always drank until I passed out. It didn't matter where I was when I passed out. I passed out in bars and on streets and in super inappropriate places that you shouldn't choose to sleep at. I went to Santa Barbara City College briefly, and a lot happened in a really short amount of time. And I did a lot of things that I never in a million years would have done sober. I think that I, you know, surprised myself. I definitely surprised my friends and family. But I was so removed from the situation. Like, it was like someone, like, I was looking at someone else and someone else's life. And I was in huge denial. I mean, it took a long time for me to even, like, kind of acknowledge that anything that had happened really did happen. And I still really didn't think it was a problem. Like, I really still thought, like, this is just what you do when you're young. And so, anyways, I ended up having to go back up to Marin, where I went to high school, and live with my parents because, I was kicked out of the dorms, and I was kicked out of school, and basically kicked out of Santa Barbara. And they came and got me. And my mom is a substance abuse counselor, and so she told me that, or she was at the time, and she told me that, you know, on my condition for living back at home was that I had to be in outpatient treatment and I had to go to AA every single day. And I said, okay, because I really didn't feel like I had any other option. And I was really desperate. I was in a desperate place, and I was desperate to grab on to anything that would explain what had happened. And So I did. I grasped onto that. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And so I did. Well, I kind of did. I went to AA, and I didn't do the outpatient because I really didn't want to. And so I went in, and I totally bombed the interview, and then I went to my mom and said, well, they didn't let me in. So, you know, I tried. And so anyways, I did that for like a month and a half, and then I decided that I was, you know, once I kind of got feeling okay again, like the shame kind of slipped away and the guilt and all of that, I started to feel like, you know, I think that it's not really drinking, like I'm not really an alcoholic, I just have some problems that I need to work through in therapy, and once I do that, I'll be fine, and I don't want to miss out on all this stuff. I'm 18, like I just don't want to miss out. So, you know, maybe, you know, even if I am an alcoholic, like I'll address that later in life. Like I don't want to miss out, so I'm just gonna drink. And so I did, and you know, it got right back to where it was and then some, and I did that for I don't know, like from 18 until 27. And there was a lot of wreckage that was caused. There was a lot of, there was a lot, you know, I was a blackout drinker. So pretty much every time I drank, I blacked out. I would wake up. I felt so much shame. I was constantly in damage control mode. I was like, you know, checking my phone, like who did I text? Who did I piss off? Like checking my bank account. Like, do I have any money left? Like, where's my car? And you know, getting in the car and like seeing parts of my car in the car, wondering how that happened. It's like a miracle that I never got a DUI. I drove drunk all the time, and you know, and I justified it because the taxi service just sucked in Marin, and so it was like their fault, you know. You know, there was a lot of lost friendships and relationships, and my family relationships were strained, but it was like this elephant in the room always. I just pretended like everything was fine, and I had these two separate lives. There was like my life where I went to school and I worked and I somehow managed to do all that, and then there was like my party life, and those were two separate things. And then, you know, it was an elephant. And then even with friends that, like, you know, knew what it was like, I had one like try and tell me what it was like, and then I just, you know, stopped being friends with her because I thought she was just being a bitch and she was just jealous because, you know, she didn't have the freedom that I had and all that. And so anyways, I need to fast forward. So what happened? Well, let's see. A lot of stuff happened. There were a lot of things that happened that, you know, you would look back and would think that would be like a wake up call. I was hospitalized a few different times for alcohol poisoning. Once I fell asleep on Garnett Street and woke up the next day in bed. Only knew I had been in the hospital because of the wristband on me. And I had a pissed off boyfriend who had to come pick me up. Anyways, so fast forward. So last day of drinking, I had been on like a 5-day bender, and I woke up. It was Monday morning. I had missed something really important for school, and I felt, you know, the very similar desperation and all that I had often felt. And this time, though, what was different is that I had a friend come over who was in my school program with me, and we happened to be focusing on solution-focused counseling. And so she's solution-focused, counseled me, and the only solution to all my problems was to simply not drink. Like, all my problems were directly related to drinking. And so, you know, it just became clear, like, I surrendered in that moment. I said, you know, this is the only way that all these things are going to stop happening. So I decided then and there that I was no longer going to drink, and it felt like I felt a lot of grief. I spent a week grieving and feeling really scared about what was to come, but also feeling a giant sense of release and relief because I felt like it was over. And, you know, I called my parents right away. I knew I had to tell everyone, otherwise I could talk myself into remaking that decision. You know, now it's been 2.5+ years. I got sober on 11/15/11. And my life is dramatically different. Like I have bad days, I have bad weeks, but it is nothing compared to what it was. I have, a really blessed life today. And, you know, I have friends in this program that I can sit down and have like real meaningful conversations with, and who, there's just so much honesty there and so much love. And, you know, I have a great relationship with my family where, again, it's like so much honesty and openness. And that wasn't the way it was before. And, you know, I have a great relationship. And there's a lot of good things now today. So thanks for letting me share. I'm probably done.